Sunday Surefire Podcast. It's your host this week, Aaron Downtown Brown. I got the co-host, the one, the only, Ethan Weaver.
Aaron, how we doing?
We are doing, my man, and especially you. You've done it. You've done it, good sir. You've crept up. You've had the long battle in our Sunday Surefire head-to-head that I and Kamish have from week to week. We are now tied in our matchup. So it's funny. It's coming right at the most exciting time of fantasy football. We have our gentlemen's competition that we have in our Sunday Surefire competition, but we also have the fantasy football playoffs just around the corner as we're finally here at week 14. Right. So I guess just what are your thoughts this time of year? And then I guess just congrats on creeping up, and we got a strong finish in both fantasy and our little head-to-head lineups.
We do, and thank you. We'll get into some of our I told you so's later, but no, I definitely had a good week on the DFS front, scoring 171 points this week, so very, very happy with that. And this time of year, I'm just focused on dialing in my fantasy football teams for the playoff push. Trying to secure those buys. I know we were talking before we got on tonight about one of our dynasty leagues and how we've been kind of, me, you, and my brother have been, and even the commish have been kind of going back and forth for those heavily vaulted buys. And I edged my brother out last night with that great performance by Chase to secure the second seed as of now. So just going into the final week of the fantasy football season before the playoffs, just hoping my teams don't lay eggs and hopefully securing those buys and getting into the dance.
Agree. And I guess this is just a perfect segue into just reminding everyone. I know we talk it all the time, almost seems like a weekly just rerun of us just saying, we do have the Discord that, a lot of good conversation goes on. We talk a lot of betting on the show, but we are, as all of you know, very deep into fantasy football. So this is a perfect time of year to get on the Discord, ask some questions. And we also are on the Didit app. So if you need the one-on-one, you think you might need a little bit more in-depth, to get a second eyes to look at your team, the Didit app is perfect. You get a FaceTime with one of us. You can screen share your team, and you can really just beef up your team right before this playoff push. Either take advantage of trading and, as we talk about in Dynasty, or just looking at this playoff run and, who to pick up, to kind of add a little safety to your fantasy team. So that's the Didit app. So it's DIDIT, only for iPhone users right now, but, it is a pretty nice app, and, we're actually online right now. So, we're very available in a lot of different platforms.
Yes, we are. And yeah, the Didit app, it's a great app. It's a great avenue to talk to some of your favorite fantasy analysts. So we're, as you said, ready and available.
All right. So I guess, I guess I did have to take a couple weeks off, let you guys catch up to me. So kind of make it interesting there in our head-to-head. So
we appreciate that. Thank you.
There you go. So I guess with that being said, I know I wasn't on the show last week, but let's bring up the told you so's from last week. And Ethan, why don't you kick it off here?
You like that? You like that?
Yeah. So last week, me and Kamish's bullish buy was Tyreek Hill. He had 35.3 points. So obviously he paid dividends for his high price. He had those two long touchdowns. My hot take that he was going to get over 200 plus yards. And if the game was closer, I think he would have done just that. But Tyreek Hill, as I mentioned last episode, he's a walking 25 points. He's worth the money almost every single time. So Tyreek Hill, big performance. I also, mentioned Brock Purdy, even though he wasn't really one of my picks. Me and Kamish did talk about Brock Purdy. He scored 32.46 points. The Falcons defense got me 17, which was huge. The 17 points was big, which helped me get to that 171 mark. So I was very happy with their performance. As I said last week, Tim Boyle, it was kind of a no-brainer to start the Falcons D. Tim Boyle can't run that offense at all. And the Jets agree, as they just released him this week. And then for the Under the Lights segment, I had Dak Prescott as my captain, who had 42.39 points. Unfortunately for us, none of us had DK Metcalf in our lineup. So not great, as he scored three touchdowns. But in our defense, DK's only had three games all year outside that 40-point blow up last week of over 15 points. So, I mean, I don't blame any of us for not having him in there, but yeah, what a performance by him. But just, yeah, a good week for me, and I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, it sure was. You know, a lot of pretty exciting week 13. And I think Kamish called out, you know, you guys almost had an identical lineup last week. It's funny, just a couple of the ones he didn't have, or it's actually the guys you had kind of blew up a little bit more. So congrats to you on the win. Yeah, Purdy and Tyreek were pretty, you know, pretty good plays. No pun intended there.
some pretty good plays.
Pretty good. for me, I had CMC, AJ Brown. I was trying to fish around for someone that I think with AJ Brown and CMC both, I thought that game was going to be a little bit more back and forth, but it's kind of just a bully beat down with San Francisco. Sorry for all you Eagles fans out there, but yeah, I mean, they actually both scored on an identical 22 points. So not too shabby, but it wasn't your blow-up games that I was kind of thinking they'd have. But both, you know, pretty decent scoring. But those are kind of my call-outs from last week. But I guess we'll turn it over and kind of move on to our bullish buy section here and talking week 14. And this is pretty much one of our last weeks coming up, you know, before the fantasy football, but for DFS, we got a good solid couple of weeks left of the regular season. Still some nice juicy plays. We got through that horrendous week 13 bye situation with a lot of our notable fantasy players. We get a lot of them back this week, but I'll let you kick it off again with our bullish buy for this week. Who are you spending a little bit more on in your daily fantasy lineup that you're bullish with in week 14?
Yeah, so I actually went a little cheaper with this bullish buy. I think we agree on a certain player that you're going to bring up, but I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about Joe Mixon with a cost of 6,100. So he's obviously just misses the kind of threshold for our pick six category. And he's 6,100 is really not that expensive compared to some of our bullish buys in the past. But I just think Joe Mixon has a very good matchup against Indianapolis Colts. And watching his usage last night, I just think he's going to get all the work he can handle again against the Colts, who have allowed the fourth most points to running backs this season with the DraftKings scoring format. And obviously with Jake Browning at the helm, like I said, I think they're going to rely heavily on him with the Colts defense, who ranks 31st in rush defense, according to Pro Football Focus. And the Colts have allowed the fifth most points of any defenses this season. So I think the Bengals have another chance to put up some points. Mixon last night had 19 carries, 68 yards, two touchdowns, and six receptions for 49 yards on seven targets. So he was the clear workhorse. I believe the backup running back there, Chase Brown, had nine carries. He actually was pretty efficient in his, but Joe Mixon was the workhorse. And I just see another big performance by him. I like the matchup, and the price point wasn't too bad. So I do like Joe Mixon a lot this week.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. Funny how much we agree on this show sometimes over some of these sections here. I actually had Mixon in my lineup. I did end up subbing him out, but I do love the matchup. I like his usage coming up here, and especially with, you know, Burrow being out, I think he's just going to get – all of his talents are going to get utilized. Uptick with Brown, but I think that's more with, you know, just more looks that Mixon is going to be getting. So love the call there. It's funny how just everything works out, because so you cheated a little bit, going a little bit cheaper at bullish buy. I have a guy that's just a couple hundred dollars – less than him in the pick six section, so we're kind of evening out a little bit. So it's kind of funny how that goes. But I'll go ahead and bring up my bullish buy for the week, and that's 7,600, and that's going to be Austin Eckler. I know Austin Eckler didn't have a huge game against the Patriots last week, but Patriots actually have been kind of turning that defense around since week nine. I think giving up the fewest point total from then. So salute there. But they are going up this week against the Denver Broncos, who Denver is 31st in the league in rushing yards. They've already given up a solid 1,800 rushing yards for the year. And that translates into 5.2 yards per carry. So I don't know about you, but if Austin Eckler is going up against a team giving up over five yards per carry, I really like those chances. It kind of means he's going to get some solid rushing numbers, and he's always involved in the receiving game. So I do think he's going to get a bounce back, have a bounce back week against Denver, take advantage of his kind of low performance week of last week, where his price dropped slightly to 7,600. But I love him this week. What do you think there, Ethan?
I agree completely, as I have him in my lineup as well. I was actually debating about talking about him in my bullish buy segment, but I went with Joe Mixon. But yeah, no, I think Eckler's in for a bounce back. He's had a down couple of weeks, and I think he's due for a big bounce back performance against the 32nd ranked run defense. That is the Denver Broncos. So I expect big things from Austin Eckler, and agree with the call completely.
All right, I like it. I like the kumbaya at first. We'll see if that changes here on out. But I'll go ahead and give Kamish's picks. And I don't think we're really going to disagree with these guys. So I'll rattle these off. He's actually going to gift us a present with two guys. So I guess maybe depending on your lineup strategy, you can either fit both of them in and go really cheap elsewhere, or pick one of them, or pick one of our bullish buys. But he's going with Kamara for 8,200 at playing at home against Carolina, and CMC, so playing against Seattle. So both pretty solid picks. CMC is a little bit of uptick in price, 9,200, then 1,000 less with Kamara, 82. So not really a whole lot to disagree with over Kamara and CMC. They're kind of fantasy gods. So, that's really all I'm going to say with Kamara and CMC. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, you can't really argue against those two picks. CMC had 34 points against the Seattle Seahawks in week 12. I'm assuming he's going to have another huge performance. And Derek Carr, he might not play this game. So I think they're going to rely heavily on him against the Carolina Panthers, who are 30th ranked against running backs. So I do expect big performances out of both those two, and you cannot go wrong getting those guys in your lineup.
Agreed. So definitely a lot of solid options here. We gave a little bit more selection in the bullish buy category. So we'll kind of see as we go on into some of the other sections, and kind of everyone listening, how you want to build that out. Sometimes you can get creative and make a couple lineups just with a mixture of our picks. So we'll definitely see how that goes, but we will move on to defenses. So this is our two deep section. I keep thinking, man, we got to rename this section a little bit. It's too deep. We used to each give two defenses, but I know with three of us, we're giving three. So three deep, we'll go ahead and talk defenses now, but that also means you got to be three deep in beers, my man. So, so see how that goes. But I'll kick this one off. My defense of the week, I'm going 3,300. So kind of mid pack for the number one defense in the league. And that is the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going Baltimore playing against the Rams in Baltimore. That over under is 40 points. So yeah, relatively low over. I know there's a few other juicy unders for the week you can pick, but Baltimore always just finds a way to get those gritty battles, you know, back and forth battles, kind of low scoring games. I think Harbaugh just does a really good job of just clock management and keeping those to kind of relatively low scoring games for the most part. But they are averaging 10 points per week on the fantasy defense, and you can't find another team with that in the slate to pick from with as many sacks as they have either. They have 47 sacks on the year, which is, like I said, the highest to pick from out of all your DFS defenses for this week, and 11 picks. So I'm pretty high on the Ravens this week. I know Rams have kind of been lining up the scoreboard, but I think Baltimore will find a way to keep that score down. So, Ethan, I'll turn it over to you, and then if you want to comment on the Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens obviously have a good defense. I am a little nervous as the Rams have been putting up some points lately. I just feel like sometimes you don't really know what Rams team you're going to get, but they are a little hot. So I'm not as in love with the Baltimore Ravens pick as a couple other defenses on the slate, but I definitely see where your head's at, obviously betting on the talent that is the Baltimore Ravens defense. So that'll bring me to my defensive pick. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns at a price of 3,000, which I thought was very cheap for a defense as good as the Cleveland Browns. I know they've been struggling a little bit as of late, but I think with the injury news to Trevor Lawrence with the high ankle sprain, I doubt he plays this week. And obviously, if he does play, my pick's probably going to change, obviously. But CJ Beathard against the Cleveland Browns in the dog pound, I'm betting on the Cleveland Browns defense all day. As I said, Lawrence, it didn't look very good. He couldn't put almost any weight on that ankle, and Christian Kirk may be out as well. So obviously not good for CJ Beathard to lose Kirk, and then obviously not good for CJ Beathard to go to the dog pound where the Cleveland Browns have surrendered an NFL low 175.7 total yards per game. So they've just been very elite at home. I think that pass rush is going to get to CJ Beathard, and I think it's going to be a long day for him, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I just think Cleveland, their price point at 3,000, I think, is a no-brainer if CJ Beathard is the starting quarterback. The over-under is 37.5. So one of the lower over-unders. So I'm very happy to put the Cleveland Browns into my lineup.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. It's funny. It's funny. I said we really got to record when we put our lineups together and look at all the stuff we do, because I did have the Browns initially in my lineup. I did change my mind a little bit, just over the fact that Denzel Ward's still out of their top corner, which I don't know if that's really going to make a huge impact in the game. I mean, they did just kind of get lit up last week, which I think it's, in DFS it's perfect, perfect to go, when you zig, you got to zag, right? So somebody just gets lit up on defense. If they got a juicy matchup this week with Beathard starting, I think you're on the right track. So I had him. I'm not really going to argue it too much. I just shied away when I was just looking at some of the guys were getting beat up a little bit on the injury report. But definitely a solid call there. And we always manage a way to kind of give you a high, medium, low pick. So, Kamish's pick for this week is the highest, at 3,900. He's going the Saints. So Carolina, playing the Saints at home. So yeah, I think just Saints at home is usually good trend, defensively. And then just, Bryce Young really isn't having a great year. He's kind of been a turnover machine. So I think that's probably a safe call there as well. So yeah, although you do got to watch out, Saints actually are not as stout as on their run defense as they have it been in prior years, which I think Carolina's been kind of resorting to. Chuba Hubbard just running for over 100 yards last week. But I think that's still a solid pick with they should be able to get some turnovers in that Saints Panthers game. So any thoughts on that before we move on there, Ethan?
Yeah, I think any defense you play against Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers is probably solid logic and probably a good call. I apologize to all the Carolina Panthers fans. It's been a rough year. Probably watching CJ Stroud light it up for the Texans and then watching Bryce Young out there, who can't seem to get out of his own way. And right now, their pick is the number one overall pick, and it's in the hands of the Chicago Bears. So just very ugly for the Carolina Panthers.
Agreed, agreed. But like I said, I think we did a good job giving everyone a good range. So kind of a good trend we got going on so far. Getting a couple options, bullish buys and defenses, and I guess kind of playing around with those inputs, you can kind of just see what budget you want to go on there. So I guess with that being said, we will move on to the pick six section. This is kind of sometimes where it can get a little more fun. We can either agree or disagree or agree to disagree, however you want to call it. So you can go ahead and I'll let you lead off here in the pick six category. So who are you investing in at a value price in week 14?
I'm going to go with one of your boys from the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going Rashee Rice at 5,400. I like the game. They're playing in Kansas City against the Buffalo Bills. The over-under is the highest of the week, I believe, at 47.5. And that over-under indicates points are obviously going to be scored. And why not have the Chiefs' number one wide receiver in your lineup, who's had 19 targets in the last two games, 8 catches in each of them? I just think at 5,400, he has a ton of upside that you want in your DFS lineup. I just think Rashee Rice is, for a second-round rookie, is having a phenomenal year. He only has a 15.3% target share, but he has a target rate of 27.1%, which is just a ratio of total targets to total routes run. So when he's on the field, he's getting targeted. That target rate is 13th in the league. And just going through some of his metrics over this year, I mean, his yards per route run of 2.55 ranks number 10 in the league. His target separation of 2.66 is number 3. He has 360 yards after catch, which ranks number 7. Mahomes has the 5th highest passer rating when targeting Rashee Rice of a 128.2. And he's number 4 in fantasy points per route run of 0.61. So Rashee Rice is very efficient with his targets. And I just think there's just so much room to grow. I can't wait to see Rice become like a full-time player and actually get like an 80%+ snap share. He's only in the 60s. He's usually been in the 60s right now. So I don't know if that's going to increase for the Chiefs. I know they like to deploy a lot of different receivers, but in my opinion, Rashee Rice is the best one on the team. And I think the Chiefs bounce back from that kind of brutal loss to the Green Bay Packers. My apologies, Aaron, but I think they bounce back at home against the Buffalo Bills. I think Rashee Rice has a big day.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear your optimism there. I'm still a little wounded from that loss there. So, I think getting Bills Chiefs players is usually, you know, in years past been a great, you know, great plan to go with. Where I think the Bills are playing really good offensively, at least, and then I guess the Chiefs have kind of been hot and cold this year. So I'm not gonna argue it, because I think the Bills are gonna put enough pressure on the Chiefs, especially where the Chiefs defense is a little banged up. So I think they're not going to be bailed out by their defense like they were earlier in the year. So Mahomes is gonna be forced to put up a great game. So I think Rice and Kelce have been the only ones you can kind of depend on there in Kansas City. So I'm not really going to argue too much, but I will say it's kind of been up and down as a Chief in the Chiefs wide receiver core this year. But like I said, I'm not going to argue too much, but we'll see. We'll definitely see. I'll go ahead and move on to my guy here. And I mentioned, you went Mixon for 6,100. I had him in my lineup. I just dropped $200, $200 cheaper, and I'm going 5,900 in the pick six. So a little bit more expensive. Like I said, you broke the rules earlier, and I'll break the rules a little bit now, going a little bit more expensive in a pick six. So one of the advantages going, you know, kind of a little bit more middle of the road overall in lineups is you can kind of get kind of an average lineup as far as prices go. So that's kind of what I'm looking at this week. But 5,900. I'm going Zach Moss, running back, playing against the Bengals in Cincinnati this week. So, I think you mentioned stat earlier with the Colts, but offensively, yeah, I know. I think you talked about defense, but did you know offensively the Colts are 8th in total touchdowns on the year, so they're a top 10 team in total offensive touchdowns. So, that was kind of a surprising stat to me, to kind of think of the Colts as a top 10 offense after, you know, their number one quarterback goes down, their number one running back goes down. It's like, hey, they're still scoring. So usually the general rule of thumb in fantasy is, you know, if you got teams that are scoring touchdowns, generally a lot is going to come from the running back room as well. So speaking about the Bengals, I mentioned earlier with Denver being 31st, as a rush defense, giving up over 5 yards per carry, Bengals are not too far behind. They're giving up 4.8 yards per carry, so almost at that five, so third worst in the league. I think, you know, Zach Moss has shown he can tear it up. Didn't get didn't reach pay dirt last week, but I do think this is a great matchup against the Bengals, where they're not quite the same team without Burrow. Kind of manage that the time and clock management and whatnot. So I think Colts will get more opportunities with the team that already have shown they can score with Moss already scoring 6 touchdowns on the year and over 700 yards rushing. So I guess not much more I can say there. I'm pretty high on Zach Moss this week. So what do you think on Mr. Zach Moss?
We keep saying that we should almost be there when we're all picking our lineups, because we seem to be picking the same guys and then maybe subbing them out. And it was the same scenario I had with Zach Moss. Zach Moss was in my lineup and then I took him out. And then for the bullish buys, I had CMC in my lineup and I took him out and actually replaced him with Eckler. So it's funny. It seems like we have a revolving door of the same players. And we obviously ended up in slightly different places, as I did not have Zach Moss in my lineup when it was all said and done. But I do like the call. I think he does bounce back. He had a ton of volume last week. He didn't hit pay dirt, and he wasn't very efficient. I think he had like, what, 19 carries last week. So it was definitely some good volume. Unfortunately, it didn't amount to much. But I definitely like Zach Moss for his price of $5,900 to get a running back on a high scoring offense, which is kind of crazy to say, considering Gardner Minshew's been at the helm for a while. As you said, they were the top 10 in touchdowns or something like that.
Number 8.
Yeah, number 8. Yeah, and they're number 8 in points for at 300. So it's been a good year offensively for the Indianapolis Colts, surprisingly, and they're sitting there at 7-5. So they're right there in the mix. And who knows, if the Jacksonville Jaguars don't get Trevor Lawrence back soon, maybe the Colts sneak in and win the AFC South. So you never know. It's crazier things have happened. But no, I do like the Zach Moss call a lot.
Nice. And you snuck in a little hot take there. Colts maybe taking over that division. That's a sneaky play to make. I do like those thoughts there. But let's move on. Who's your second pick six player for the night?
So my second pick six, I am going to go back to that Rams Ravens game, and I'm going Isaiah Likely at 3,500. The Rams have allowed the third most points to the tight end position. They rank 29th against the tight end position. The Ravens are coming off a bye. The week before the bye, Likely was led the team in yards. He only had 40, but he did lead the team in yards. And he was second in targets with 6 behind Zay Flowers, 8. And historically, Likely has played very well when Andrews is out. And the Rams are a great matchup against the tight end position. I think coming off the bye, Lamar and Likely hook up quite a bit this week. And I think for a price of $3,500, I think it pays dividends. So I do like Isaiah Likely a lot. I think he offers a lot of upside, and the matchup is just too good to pass up to not have him in my tight end position.
All right. So I guess you're saying is likely to have a good week.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think I was waiting for for you to drop tantalizing too. So it's just tantalizing
tip my lineup.
And yeah. So Isaiah Likely, I think you said it. So it was more like his rookie year and not really 2023 season, but I haven't really seen him break out with Andrews being out, but I do think, you know, getting a couple more weeks with him being the starter. And it's funny with Zach Ertz being dropped in Arizona. I think one of the rumors was like, okay, can he go to the Ravens now as a Super Bowl contender? And Harbaugh was pretty content with his tight end room. So I think that's just, you know, all the confidence in the world with Isaiah Likely. So it's a good take. Good to remember him, and you know, I think this time of the year is always good to just keep track of the injuries and who's going to be solidifying the starting lineup for cheap price. So what was his price again?
His price was $3,500.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, 35. I mean, I think DFS still, you know, recognizing his talent, he's still above the 3,000, still definitely, definitely cheap. So I do like the call. And like I said, I guess he's likely to have a good week.
Oh, it's guaranteed. It's more than likely.
More than likely. All right. All right. All right. So you said one of my guys. I guess I'll go ahead and say one of your boys. No, not from the Patriots, but a guy I know you're pretty high on. I'm going to 4,700. I'm going to go Jerry Jeudy this week. Denver playing the Chargers. You know, I kind of deep dived a lot of these teams this week over just, you know, what are they giving up? You know, I think we, towards the end of the year, you know, there's not really any midseason turnarounds now. I think now some of the stats are really speaking for themselves. And the Chargers started the year with a pretty weak secondary, and they're pretty much finishing the year with a pretty weak secondary. So they give up 7.8 yards per attempt in the league. So they're, you know, they're definitely giving up space and, you know, almost a first down, almost every completion. So,
that's good.
You know,
right?
They, yeah. Right. Yeah. I want to say if you're a wide receiver for the opposing team, you're in a pretty good position. So I do like Jeudy this week. And with the Chargers also not having Bosa in the lineup, yes, you still got to worry about Cleo Mack, but I think Russell Wilson can buy enough time, which he does prove he can kind of scramble around a little bit to do that. So I do think Jeudy is going to have a couple of those, you know, he does, you know, kind of develop a couple routes that take a little bit of time to happen, but I do think they do connect some really nice looks this week. So I'm high on Jeudy going up. Like I said, just another favorable matchup. Yeah, only three receptions last week, but did make the most out of the three. Did have over 50 yards receiving. But I think it's going to be a little bit more juicy matchup with Jeudy playing against the Chargers this week. So I'm going 4,700, Jerry Jeudy.
Maybe you were looking over my shoulder when I was setting my initial lineup, because I had I had Jeudy in there as well. I had to take him out because he's burned me so much, and I just couldn't put him into my lineup. And I actually put a player in over him that I have been so down on over the past couple of years. And I actually subbed him out, and I put Courtland Sutton in there, and it, which pains me to say, because I've been such an anti-Sutton guy and I've been so pro-Jeudy. But I do love the call. I think if Jeudy is going to have a breakout game this year, I think it's set up to happen this week against the LA Chargers, who, as you alluded to, can't stop much through the air. It's now or never for Jeudy. Jeudy needs to get going. And I really, really hope he does. But no, it's just funny because I had him in my lineup and I took him out just because I've been burned one too many times by my guy, Jerry Jeudy. But no, I do like the call, and I really, really hope it comes to fruition.
Yeah, no, I hope so too. I appreciate the love. But yeah, I do want to say, like, he has kind of let down. I know he's kind of gotten a little bit of slack, even from Steve Smith. You know, calling him a jag.
Jag, yeah.
So I mean, yeah, like I kind of wish, yeah. It's funny, I actually traded for Sutton in one of our dynasty leagues just for a little bit of a extra playoff push. But I think Sutton has been the guy over there in Denver, but I do like Jeudy's chances against that secondary in LA. And I think just that play style just kind of complements Jeudy's ability there. With that lax defense. So I think, like you said, out of all the weeks, I'm praying that this is the week that Jeudy kind of breaks out a little bit. So it actually is a little bit of a risk, but I do like the price for 4,700.
It's weird with Jerry Jeudy, because Jerry Jeudy last year, like, was, I felt like Russell Wilson's guy on a per target basis. Like Jeudy was out targeting Courtland Sutton. It seemed like Jeudy was the alpha in that offense. And then going into this year, Sutton's completely taken that over, and it really hasn't been close. So I don't know why it it went from Judy to Sutton this year. I didn't expect to see that, but I don't know if Judy is just having an off year or what, whatever it may be. But I mean, Judy, he has been great this year, but he has been getting 50 to 60 yards somewhat consistently this year. It's not great, but he's not getting yet complete zeros, but hopefully you can find the century mark this week.
All right. Well, definitely hope so. We'll go ahead and cover Kamish's picks back to back here. He's got a pretty hot hot pick six duo here. He's taking a trip back to Stack City, but in the pick six section. So this is always interesting when we do that. I'll start with the receiver here. So actually tight end of the week. So it's 4,100. He's going David Njoku for 4,100 tight end this week with Cleveland Browns. And of course I said Stack City. So he's stacking that with none other than Joe Flacco for 4,700. So definitely an interesting game to look at. One of the lowest over unders of the week at 30.5. Jacksonville and the Browns both playing with banged up quarterbacks. But I think on the Joku side, I've actually played him kind of often here in the last couple of weeks, and rightfully so. He's had 40 targets the last 4 weeks, which is good for tight end one in three out of those 4 weeks. So Njoku is kind of a target hog. I mean, it kind of self-explanatory when you're down your top QB, usually you gravitate either to dump offs to running backs and tight ends. So I don't hate the Njoku play. And actually Flacco had two touchdowns last week. So he was actually a very nice play, scoring over, I think it was 18 fantasy points. So very sneaky play last week. I was very curious if he had it in him still to make the start last week, but he does show that he can still do some work out there. So what do you think over Kamish's trip back to Stack City in this cheap section here?
I think it's kind of gross, to be honest, but I do see where his head's at. I'm actually kind of surprised Joe Flacco was on the street for as long as he was, considering he just kind of waltzed in to Cleveland and had a pretty decent day. But no, Njoku, he had a disappointing line last week against the Rams, who, as I said, allow the third most points to the tight end position. And Njoku just couldn't seem to get too much going with only 3.7 fantasy points last week. He did have six targets, so we'll see if he can turn that around. I just Kamish with CMC and Kamara, I believe, did he have both those guys in his lineup?
He did. He had pretty high bullish buys there.
Yeah, so it makes sense how he's going low, very low with Joe Flacco. I think I would go in a different direction. I just don't trust Joe Flacco and Njoku. Like I said, only two receptions last week. He did get six targets, but it's just tough to kind of figure out who Joe Flacco is going to really lean on, considering we only have one game to go off of. So it's definitely risky, but obviously if you're paying up for Kamara and CMC, you got to cheap out somewhere, and he definitely cheaped out at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that strategy can definitely work out, you know, if you got some, you know, heavy hitters in your lineup as positional players, and if your quarterback for under 5,000 hits, it really does play bit dividends, but it is very risky, right? Because if they flop, you're not really moving the needle too much, though. So, yeah, definitely a little bit of a risk there. But anytime you can go under 5,000, if it pans out, obviously that's gonna work out for you at the QB position. But yeah, very interesting with Flacco. I'm a little hesitant as well, just with that over under being only 30 points, one of the lowest of the entire NFL season, as far as spreads go. So not too promising there, but the Browns are favored by only 3 points, though. So we're maybe looking at a 12 to 15 game or something like that with all field goals possibly. So we'll definitely see. But who knows? Crazier things have happened. But yeah, I'm not too keen on it too. But it's always exciting to go Stack City that cheap in your lineup. So I guess with that being said, we'll move on to the Thursday night matchup. And I guess brace yourself, Mr. Ethan. We're going to talk in the under the lights section. All right, so under the lights section, we're gonna talk the Patriots playing in Pittsburgh for your Thursday night game. This over-under spread is only, I think we just made fun of the Browns spread of being 30.5, and it's funny. So is this game. This is right at 30, and even 30 points over-under in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is favored 6 points. So, I think Vegas kind of thinking kind of a closer game, maybe a little bit ugly. I mean, Patriots just coming off of getting shut out with that goose egg against the Chargers, just 6-0. However, I think I mentioned earlier in the show that I believe they are, they have given up the least amount of points since week 9, which is pretty good, but good turnaround with concerning some of the guys they've lost on defense this year. So, Ethan, I know you're kind of the Patriots expert, you and Kamish on the show. So I'm going to actually turn it over to you, kind of talk how you think game's going to go, and then we'll get into captains after that.
Yes, I had the pleasure to be at Gillette Stadium this past Sunday in the pouring rain, watching the Patriots offense score 0 points and lose 6-0 to the LA Chargers. So not a very riveting game. The Patriots offense is just absolutely abysmal. They rank 32nd in points for this season, only scoring 148 so far this year. It's just been a kind of an embarrassing performance week after week with the Patriots. But I don't see it changing very soon. They're probably going to start Bailey Zappe against Pittsburgh on Thursday night, and I'm not expecting a lot of offensive football in that game. So with that, we can move into our captains' lineups.
Yeah, kind of agree with you there. The Patriots, I mean, yeah, as you said, and just got shut out. They're playing against Pittsburgh now in Pittsburgh. I mean, Watt is playing for another defensive player of the year type of year. He's got 14 sacks on the year, so I can only imagine what he's going to do against the Patriots there. So, I guess I'm just agreeing with you there. Maybe another kind of ugly, low-scoring game. So I think Vegas might be right on it over the 30 points there. So, I guess with that being said, it is probably a good segue. I know, so I'll move on to captains. I'll go first here. And it's funny, I went this strategy last week, and it definitely did not work out with DK scoring three touchdowns against the Cowboys defense. So they kind of had an off week for once this week or this year. But I'm going right back again to that strategy. I do think if I get the Pittsburgh defense in, I think it is a good play. I think low scoring sacks, possibly sacks plus turnovers, that's usually good in these captain lineups if the defense ends up scoring. I'm actually going defense 2 weeks in a row. This is a little bit even juicier in my opinion. So I actually went Pittsburgh as my captain. And I got some of the other kind of position players I'm thinking that'll be in it. But I was not afraid to go defense 2 weeks in a row, even though it did not pan out for me. So I'll turn over to you, Ethan.
Yeah, to touch on last week with your defensive pick, me and Kamish were definitely on board. I couldn't have been more wrong with how that game was going to play out. I thought Seattle was going to get smashed. I did not expect Geno Smith in that offense to put up what did they put up 35 points or whatever it was. It was just not what I was expecting. And they definitely hurt my lineup considerably, but I'm glad you're going back to the well, because I also have the Pittsburgh Steelers defense at 9,900 in my captain spot. As much as it pains me to put them up there against me and Commissioner's Patriots, I just, as I said, the Patriots just can't move the ball. They scored 0 points against the Chargers, who ranked 29th in total yards per game and 31st in pass yards per game as a defense. So bottom of the league in those categories. They just lost their best offensive player in Ramondre Stevenson, who I believe has a high ankle sprain, so he's not going to be out there Thursday night. So now you have Zeke Elliott and Ty Montgomery as the running backs. The Patriots were the first team since 1938 to lose three straight games while allowing 10 or fewer points, which kind of is probably the reason why this over-under is 30, because obviously Kenny Pickett is probably not going to play either, so it's going to be the Zappi-Trubisky show. So the over-under probably should be 10 in this game. As you said, T.J. Watt may have 5-plus sacks himself, as the Steelers have the 8th highest pass rush grade according to PFF, and they're going against the 27th ranked pass blocking unit according to PFF with the New England Patriots. I just think the Patriots on the road in Pittsburgh against that pass rush, Bailey Zappi, I think it's going to be a very, very ugly affair. I don't see the Patriots scoring over 10 points. I know it was a bad weather game against the Chargers, but you need to be able to score more than zero points against defense that bad. And I think Pittsburgh is going to have their way with them. And honestly, if I had a choice, I hope the Pittsburgh Steelers come out with a W, because the Patriots are pushing for that number one pick. So I'm in complete agreement with you. I think it's going to be one of the ugliest games of the year. And I'm sorry the nation has to watch that on Thursday night.
Well, I guess if it makes you feel a little bit better, I do have the Patriots defense in my lineup as well. So,
I do too. Just Mitchell Trubisky, they're definitely in there.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, yeah, that on the same page there. I'll go out and throw a Kamish's pick out here. He's actually going. He's going to admit it to himself. It is an ugly play as well, but he's going Zeke as his captain. So, kind of just looking at. Kind of thinking that he's just going to get a lot of usage just by default, you know, as you said, with Ramondre out. So I think he just admitting it is an ugly pick, but at an ugly game, sometimes it is good to, you know, pick guys you think are going to get the ball in that volume. So I actually don't hate it. I have Zeke in my lineup as well, but I thought Pittsburgh's D was just too juicy this week.
I get the selection with Zeke just on a volume play, but unfortunately, what's volume in the Patriots offense? How many times are they going to get into the red zone? Once, maybe twice if they're lucky, if they get a big play. Zeke may have 20 carries for 50 yards. I mean, but you're hoping he gets, if you're playing Zeke, I feel like you're hoping he gets a lot of receptions. I don't think he's going to have almost any opportunity at the goal line. And Zeke is, I feel like, too old and decrepit to break a large touchdown run, a long touchdown run. So I would definitely rather play the Pittsburgh Steelers over Zeke just because of upside. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have a chance to go off. And I think Zeke Elliott just does not have the upside in the worst offense in the NFL.
You know, Ethan, I think that was the first time I've heard old and decrepit used as an NFL player so far. So I can see your opinion on Zeke watching the Patriots this year.
Well, honestly, Zeke's actually been a lot better than I thought he was. It just one, I didn't understand really the signing. It's like the Patriots had other needs than an aging running back that was overpriced. But I just don't think Zeke has the juice to break one against this defense. And I think that's what it's going to take for him to pay dividends in your captain spot, just because the offense is just that bad. I mean, he had a ton of volume against the Chargers last week, and it didn't amount to a ton, just to the fact that I think they crossed the 50 once.
Yeah, I think you're kind of rooting for, you know, can they get past the 50, and then can they throw a deep ball that gets past interference to take him down to like the 2, and then he runs it in. That might be how he scores.
Yeah, I mean, he had 13 fantasy points against the Chargers, but I mean, he had 4 for 40 receiving, so that I think that kind of saved his game, as he had 17 for 52 on the ground. If he can get the receptions and he can get the targets, I think he has a chance to do something for you. But as you said, and I just said, I just would rather play the upside with the Steelers defense.
Agree. So we'll definitely see. I think Amazon's really just had the juiciest games of the year so far, I'd say so.
Oh, yikes.
Definitely throw some money on it to start your week just to keep things interesting. And we'll definitely throw out some bets in the Discord just so kind of get your eyes glued on the TV still on that type of a game. We'll get some interesting. Maybe I'll throw in some defensive props. That's sometimes fun to do. So I guess with that being said, that's kind of your Thursday night breakdown. We can move on to the hot take section here. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. All right. So with hot takes, Ethan, just I guess take it away. What do you got for hot takes for the week?
I'm gonna stick with my pick six. I'm gonna go with Rashee Rice. I say he goes over 115 yards and hits pay dirt. So I'm projecting a pretty big day for Rashee Rice.
All right. Well, as a Chiefs fan, I hope that happens. So it's funny, you went with my boy. I'm gonna go with your boy. I'm gonna go with Judy. I'm gonna say, so it's funny, the props aren't out yet, being it's the Sunday game. So when they do, I'll definitely draft up a nice juicy parlay.
Oh, we know you. Definitely a juicy that's parlay.
That's right. So I'm going to go with probably find longest completion with Russell Wilson. And that's typically about 30 yards is you can find that prop. So I'm going to say take the over for Russell Wilson's longest completion. And then I say also get a Jerry Jeudy anytime touchdown in there, and then take the Jeudy over in yard. Not so much receptions. I'm just going to stick with yards because, as I mentioned, I think Chargers give a lot of space. He hasn't seen a whole lot of volume this year, but I do think he has a nice I'm hoping he breaks one out for a nice 30, 40-yard touchdown this week. So that's going to be my hot take on the week.
No, I like it. I hope it comes true. I need Jeudy to start picking it up. So it would be nice to see that from Jerry Jeudy this weekend.
Agree. So I guess with that being said, join the Discord. It's everywhere in all of our social medias. Oh, and enjoy our new logo. I mean, it's literally fire.
So. it's fire. All right.
It's fire. All right. So I am coming in hot with the puns this week in the hot take section.
Yeah,
so
yeah, well, Purdy, likely, fire. You got it rolling today, Aaron.
That's true. I'm rolling. So all right. So I guess with that being said, with all as we always say, peace.